Hey, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's message. My name's Aaron, and I'm on the staff team here at Eastlake. Everything we do around here depends on the generous donations of our local and online community, people just like you, who tune into these messages and see great benefit from living that idea that life is a gift and love is the point. So if you love what Eastlake is up to, we'd encourage you to contribute by going to eastlakecc.com. With that, let's jump into this week's message. Today, we hear from Britt Barron as she continues our Enneagram series, Nine Paths to Wholeness, speaking from the perspective of an Enneagram 7.
What's up, Eastlake? It's Britt Barron. I'm so happy to be back with you, even on this new and improved digital format. I am going to be speaking on the Enneagram series, and I'm going to be speaking on the Enneagram number 7. So I am a longtime friend of Eastlake and the work that you all are doing. This is my third time getting to speak with you all and have this conversation, and I'm so very excited. So I think that's everything I was supposed to say. If it's not, I'm sorry, David. Okay. So Enneagram 7. Here's what's interesting about being an Enneagram 7 is I feel like whenever I tell people that's my number, they're always like, oh, that's the best number. And I'm like, yes, it is. But truly, it's like kind of seen as the fun number or all of these things. And it is that, but there's obviously a shadow side. And I'm excited to share all of that journey with you. So an Enneagram 7 is the enthusiast. We are known for our like brutally unshakable optimism and pain avoidance. So let me tell you a story. In the 80s, 90s, even until today, I have one movie that will bring my heart deep joy and contentment no matter what's happening around me. And that is Disney's Newsies. So if you've never seen Newsies, it's an amazing movie about newspaper sellers, newsboys, not sure what they're called. And they like plan this whole revolution because the price of their newspapers went up. And then they go like straight to the top and they end up like getting the price back down. And it's Christian Bale's standout performance of his career, in my opinion. And it's so wonderful. So that movie has been my favorite movie since childhood. So long before I knew what the Enneagram was, this is just a perfect insight into life as a 7. As a child, I would watch that movie. Now, the movie is, it's a Disney movie. So it's super happy and all these newsboys are selling their papers and things are going so well. And then a little bit of conflict, not too much, when the price goes up. And then they plan one sort of little like revolution moment and they actually get stopped, they get busted. I hope there's no spoilers in here, but if you haven't seen Newsies, I imagine you're not gonna see it anytime soon, so it's fine. And then their thing gets all split up, they kind of go to jail, it gets very, very sad, but while they're in jail, they figure out some way to like keep the revolution going, and then they end with like a parade where they united all the child workers like in New York. It's very cool. From the very first time I watched that movie, every time after that, I would watch up until the point where they were planning their first revolution. I would fast forward through the entire conflict and watch the end where everything was okay. I naturally did this as like an 8-year-old. I knew, you know what would make this movie awesome is if we took out all the hard parts. So yes, Enneagram 7. That is basically how I would like to live life. Like, you know what would be awesome about life is if we just took out all the hard parts. And I did that for a while, or tried to do that for a while. That's kind of the catch 22 about being a 7 is that never works, right? So the good thing about experiencing life in this way is that I do feel like optimism and joy have been my gift to the world. I do feel like this is something that I get to share with people, point people to, encourage people towards, and it's been incredible. But the shadow side of it has been 34 years and counting of general pain avoiding. I do feel like I've gotten better this over the years, but I remember the first time before I knew anything about these numbers or what they meant, and I was 19 years old. It was the first time I went to therapy. And I remember just telling my therapist, talking to her, and we were getting to know each other. And in one session, she said, "You know it's okay to be sad, right?" And I remember thinking, like, is it though? I don't know. Where'd you go to school, right? And so that's the shadow side, is pain avoiding. So I want to share just a few things that I've learned from walking through the world in this way that have been incredibly helpful. In my quest to dull out pain in my life, I found that I was actually also dulling out joy. I had a mentor in college tell me that you can only experience joy to the depth at which you're willing to experience pain, because they come from the same well. And that was something I couldn't fathom or grasp for a while, because my disposition said, avoid pain at all costs, cling to anything good. Cling and keep it forever. If you ever lose it, it's gone for good. And we just know that that is factually not true. So I've had to learn to reshape this idea that optimism is my strength and joy is a strength, and all of these things come and go, but it's okay if they're not there every second of every moment of the day. Sleeping At Last did Enneagram songs. I don't know if you all are familiar or if you're listening as you go through the series, but there's a line in the Enneagram 7 song that says, "It costs farewell tears for a welcome home parade." And that is fundamentally something I have had to learn, and I've had to learn it the hard way, that if you want the welcome home parade, then you need the farewell tears, right? If you want the joy, you're going to have to go through the pain. To put it in super old school, preachy terms, if you want Sunday, you've got to go through Friday. And that's been really hard for me to learn, but it's been really good. Because at the end of the day, what I'm realizing is the true strength of an Enneagram 7 is my true strength is bringing authentic joy and optimism. I feel like what I had early on in my life was just fake prosperity. I was just saying things that I felt like were happy, or trying to pretend like things weren't hard. And what I get to offer now, as I'm growing in my own maturity and understanding, is an authentic joy that says, while things are hard, things are also still hopeful. While things may be falling apart, they have seemed to come together in the past. While the story feels like it's in a difficult chapter, it's not done. And these things that feel more true to what it means to be human, that I can offer that gift instead of something that was just counterfeit to begin with.
Well, hey everyone, excuse the interruption for a quick minute. My name is Kristen. I'm one of the team members here at Eastlake, and we're so glad that you're joining us today on the podcast. It's been so encouraging for us to hear stories from people all over the country and the world who are listening to these messages and resonating with this idea that we just keep saying over and over again, which is life is a gift and love is the point, and that we are all committed to being a beneficial presence in our own community. So thanks for joining us. I hope that that's resonating with you. It's just really fun for us. So wanted to also say thank you to those of you who contribute. This place, all of these things that we do are happening because of people who make consistent, even just small consistent gifts. It helps us plan. It helps us know that there are really people behind us who want this thing to continue. So thank you to those of you who do that. If you haven't had a chance to give yet, I would encourage you to maybe think about doing that if you find this beneficial in your own life. To make a contribution, it's really easy. You can go to eastlakecc.com, and there's a donate button there with all the info. So thanks so much for tuning in. Let's get back to the message.
I remember it will be 13 years ago, my grandmother passed away. And my grandmother was the matriarch of our very large Mexican family. So my grandmother and my grandfather had 10 kids. Okay, they were very good Catholics that did not believe in birth control. So I had 10 kids. My mom was number 7 of those 10. Those 10 had kids. I've got cousins and aunts and uncles galore. And my grandmother stood as the matriarch, the glue that held this whole thing together, right? And when she passed away, I was 20 years old, and I remember thinking, I didn't know I could ever be this sad. It was one of the hardest things for me to experience. I resisted the sadness. I was trying to figure it out, but I was just so sad. What would our family be like? All these things. And I tried to let myself feel these feelings, and it was certainly my first interaction with grief on that level. And after her memorial service, when we went to the cemetery, and this is the part where it gets even more sad because they're lowering it into the ground. They lower it into the ground and we're crying. There's, you know, all of us are just around here. Everyone's just a mess. And I have a cousin, my little cousin at the time was a toddler. And so, you know, he obviously doesn't have a grasp on what's going on, but sees this like as an opportunity. So while we're all like crying, like boohoo, like hugging each other, he like sneaks up to where they have just lowered my grandmother into the ground. And he has like a toy truck and he just like Michael Jordan into like the grave. And all of us like stood like shocked. And then it felt like forever, but it was probably like 3 total seconds before you just heard like, do, do, do. And we, all of us looked at each other for like a good amount of time, like, what are we gonna do? And then just like from the depths, a laugh came out of me from a place that I'm like, I didn't know I could laugh this hard. Like, I was already split wide open by this grief. And from that same place came this like deep, deep laughter. Like it was so guttural. And I remember just laughing and laughing and laughing, and those laughs turned to tears and those tears turned to laughs. And even when I'm with my family to this day, we like bring up that moment and we laugh and we cry and we laugh and we cry. And that moment gave me such a better picture of what true joy and hope and optimism is. It's not saying this isn't hard. It's not saying that bad things don't happen. It's saying that in the midst of some of the worst things that we go through, there's a lightness that we can choose to see if we want it, that we can choose to let into the heaviness. It doesn't take any of the heaviness away, but it shapes us in the process and we get to handle it differently. So as an Enneagram 7, that's completely what I found. Is that the world is not looking for this fake joy that says, hey, that's a hard thing, look over here, there's something shiny, right? Which was a lot of my life. It's just like, distract yourself from any and all pain. But rather saying, gosh, is there a world in which maybe these two are blended? To where our pain makes room for our joy makes room for our pain, we can hold it all together. I know it sounds weird, but I've started to understand joy as work. And joy as work says that even when I get comfortable in my pain and comfortable with the heaviness and more comfortable with the tension, I'm gonna choose to allow lightness in when it comes my way and choose to find that joy no matter what the cost, never at the price of minimizing what I'm actually going through, but just allowing it to be there. You know, I like, sevens really get tagged as the party number or like the fun number. And it is, I'm not gonna lie, great at a party. But I think there's a shadow side that I've learned the hard way, right? Because for years and years and years and years and years, I just like went on to the next shiny thing, pretended nothing was hard. And then I'm like driving around in my car, crying, like losing my mind. And I have no idea why, right? Like I'm crying. I'm like, 4 years ago, I think that really hurt my feelings, okay? Because these feelings were shoved so far down. And now like a total reclaiming of this whole Enneagram, which has been so incredible, helpful for me, so incredibly helpful. My wife and I say all the time, like, I can't imagine getting married when we didn't know anything about the Enneagram, because it has been the single most helpful tool. My wife is an Enneagram 9, I'm sure you'll get to that soon, are also positive and also a little bit pain avoider. So it's a real party at our house. This is like such a tangent, but we are such, like, we don't like anything tense or conflict. So when we do our budget, which is never fun and no one likes, we have to call it a financial party or like neither one of us will show up. Like we trick ourselves into pretending like it's a party when we know we're just going to go through the budget. So if you're watching, that's a hack. But I think the thing that I can offer or want to share with the world, at least in this part in my journey, is that joy, like anything else, is a muscle. And Eckhart Tolle tells us that if we want to strengthen our muscle of joy, then that requires pain. And that's not a bad thing. And pain does not take the place of joy. Pain actually makes room for more joy to live. And that's how I feel about the world right now. So thank you so much for letting me have this conversation with you about Enneagrams. And I hope it goes well. If you have any questions, I don't know, let's have a conversation. And cheers.